Robert came out of.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Tom.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning. And it is still morning. Maybe you'll get out of here before it gets too late. I do want to welcome everybody that's live streaming that couldn't be here. And that includes my wife. Hi, honey. So it's good to be here. You know, John chapter 1, verse 29. Who want to go there? John was an unusual man, John the Baptist. Quite an unusual man. He didn't wear big fancy three-piece suits. He didn't have a Maserati or a BMW. He wore a rough garment, lived basically in the wilderness. And his whole job in life was to be the forerunner of Christ. And so he had something to say here, but it was not about himself. He wanted us to behold the Lamb of God. Verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, bless this time we pray. Help us, Lord, that we may also, even as John encouraged others to, Lord, to behold the Lamb. Ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, John had come preaching in a rough skin, ate honey and wild locusts. I mean, he didn't have a fancy diet. He didn't have a plush villa. He was not a radio preacher. Of course, they didn't have radio, did they? But he wasn't about himself. In fact, in verse 15, he said of Christ, when asked by the Pharisees who came to say, Why are you doing what you're doing? By what authority? Why are you doing this? He said in verse 15 that he is preferred before me. That's what he said of Christ, the one who he was a forerunner for. In verse 20, he said, I am not the Christ. In verse 23, he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness when they ask, Are you one of these prophets? And then in verse 27, he, meaning Christ, is preferred before me, and I'm not worthy to loose the latchet of his shoe. And then finally, ultimately, later, when his disciples were jealous of Christ and his disciples, and they asked him, Hey, you know, Jesus is making more, doing more baptism than you. He said, He must increase. It's not a surprise in verse 29 when he sees Christ coming from a distance as he's baptizing and as he's preaching, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's an important phrase that he has said over and over. Repent. There's a need because men by nature are sinners. We by nature are sinners. And there is a call to repent. That is to confess, admit one's sin, and to turn from it. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I want us to focus on that one word first. Behold. You know, the word behold, as it's found there, and what it means, what it means in English, that is, if you were looking in the Greek, but it means to see. It's an imperative as it's used here. And it's an interjection to give, or to denote a surprise. It's like saying, lo, or no, look, but not just glance and go on. He's saying, look at him. Behold. And you know, that's what our job as Christians are to do, is to have people behold the Lamb. It's not about us. It's about him. And why is it? He said, behold. Pay attention. Look. Have your eyes transfixed on Him. Do not glance and go, but gaze upon Him. Oh, that we might gaze upon Him. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said over and over in the New Testament? That he might know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. He counted all things but loss for Christ. Oh, that we were that way. Oh, that we are that way. That we are continually beholding the Lamb. But He wasn't just the Lamb that people offered. When we look through the Old Testament, through Leviticus and the other directions concerning offering of offerings, people brought offerings. These were the offerings of men, lamb or bullock or whatever. But He doesn't address Jesus or speak of Jesus as the Lamb of men, does He? This is the Lamb of God. What does that mean? It means the Lamb that God provided. This is the ultimate sacrifice, the only. Remember in Hebrews it tells us that it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. They were a picture. This is the actual, real, authentic sacrifice Christ is. And when He mentions, behold the Lamb of God, He doesn't end there. He gives us the purpose of the Lamb of God. What He came for. What for? To take away the sins of the world. That was our problem. We were condemned sinners. And we bore the judgment of God weighing upon our shoulders. The realization. Men know instinctively that they're in trouble with God. And yet they try so many different ways. But there's only one way. And of course that's through the sacrifice of God Himself, God the Son. When He says, behold the Lamb of God. Wow. To look upon Him. To observe Him and realize this is not just a lamb. This is the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God that Revelation tells us is slain from the foundation of the world. Even though He died on the cross, in the mind of the Father, He died from the foundation of the world. It was as good as done. Because God who cannot lie, and God who cannot fail, who's omnipotent, omniscient, He decreed that Christ would suffer on a cross one day. That He would be the Lamb, that perfect Lamb. And it's by His stripes we're healed. He came to take away my sin. If you're here this morning, or if you are watching online, if you have never repented, if you've never come to Him to have your sins taken away, you can. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, he says of Christ being the propitiation or the payment for our sin. It says not for ours only, but for the sins of the what? Whole world. He didn't die for me. He didn't die for you that are saved. He died for all that would trust Him. And He actually died for the sins of the whole world. Amen? Amen. Caleb, did we look? Yeah, go ahead, Caleb.